Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What is up, everyone? You are watching Kinda Funny. What happened?
I don't know. Everything's just looking real dark and scary with the red
background. The background is just red, yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, I see like a lighting and stuff in there. Oh, there we go. You are watching Kinda Funny Games Daily for the 28th of October, 2021. I am your host, the spooky version of Tamor Hussein, and joining me is the spooky version of my brother from another mother, Tim Gaze.
It is me. I'm very excited to be here with you today, talking about some new stories. Tam?
Glad to be here with you, too. As always, 28th of October, we're going to break it down in history real quick. So, 1943. What was that, Kevin?
Yeah, I said, history breakdown.
History breakdown. How do you feel about these? You like these?
Yeah, I always like to get a little education in the morning.
This is awesome.
Yeah, cool. I was trying to add something of my own, you know?
Yeah.
1943, 28th of October, the supposed Philadelphia experiment involving teleportation or invisibility by the U.S. Navy took place with the destroyer escort ship, the USS Eldridge. The U.S. Navy maintains that no such experiment occurred, and the details of the story contradict well-established facts about the Eldritch. So
that is some Metal Gear Solid ass shit I ever heard in real life.
Yeah. Exactly. In 2006, the number one hit for October 28th was Ludacris featuring Pharrell Williams' Moneymaker. I don't even remember that song.
Yeah, what?
No, I don't know that song. That's not the Ludacris or the Pharrell Williams song I would go to for anything.
Okay.
You remember
YouTube it now? Yeah.
Yeah, you remember 100%.
Okay. When seeing the music video, it's like, oh, that's some iconic shit. Luda has also way more hits than you expect.
You always think of him as
he has four or five. It's like, no, he has like 29 or 30.
Hit actor.
Exactly.
Luda. First name Luda, surname Chris. Today is also Bill Gates's birthday. You know, founder of Microsoft, questionable philanthropist, Bill Gates. And in
questionable philanthropist. Whether his
actions are for the greater good are up for debate. Let's not get into it right now, but let's just say, remember that stuff with COVID where he's like, don't sell the patent? Well, that's what I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying. Philanthropist, that's what I'm saying. More Metal Gear Solid stuff. Just saying.
Yeah, more Metal Gear Solid stuff. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's where I learned that word. Metal Gear Solid 2.
Philanthropy, yeah. Metal Gear Solid teaching our generation a lot of things about history. Also, I just got this.
Whoa, what is this? I didn't even know what that is.
This is his book that he released all about creativity. It came out very recently, like mere days ago. So I'm excited to dig into that.
That's cool as hell.
On October 28th in 2033, the T-850 that killed John Connor in 2032 is captured, reprogrammed, and sent back to 2004 in Terminator 3. Rise of the Machines. Not the best Terminator movie by any stretch, but still enjoyable.
Not at all.
Yeah. And then 2008, Tim Gettys did the most Tim Gettys thing ever, for better or for worse. Break it down, Tim. What are we talking about here?
It was my friend Thao's birthday. And this was around the time that Final Fantasy X-2 had come out. And that game,
banger of a game.
Features a banger. Fucking banger of a game. And that features a song called 1,000 Words. Mm-hmm. And I was like, thousand, there's something here. So I wrote a rap song over the 1,000 Words beat. And I gave it to her as a birthday present. And I released it on MySpace. And it got 50,000 listens. and it was one of the first moments of Tim Getty's quote-unquote going viral. And 50,000 listens on MySpace was a big deal. That's like, I was on the front page and shit for this for a while. Front page of MySpace, baby. I'm up there with Tom. Tim Tam? What about Tim Tom, baby?
Is there any evidence of this? Or is there, do you still have the song?
Yes, I do. And no one is ever hearing it. Ever. But I do have it.
I respect it. I respect it. But I would love to hear that. I would love to hear that.
I don't think anything could exist that is cringier than it. Like, it is legitimately the cringiest thing. But I can't. I mean, you know, dude, Tam, if there's one thing that connects the two of us, we love good puns. We love it, wordplay and all that stuff. And I'm like, I can't not do this.
Yeah, you could. I respect that you saw the opportunity and you committed hard. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what that commitment is, what helps push it to the top of MySpace for that period.
100%.
But yeah, now everyone has more.
Tim, how do you know about this?
How do I know about what? This?
Yeah.
Tim and I are just connected that way. I just knew that he had something cooking.
Yeah.
Also, he put it in the document.
got it.
Today's stories include Bobby Kotick taking a pay cut and changes at Activision Blizzard, which are important. Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg doing new GTA music and PlayStation on PC updates and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, where each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, you can get some news. And if you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. As always, we're going to endeavor not to be wrong about anything, but let us know if we are. If you don't want to watch it live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or on roosterteeth.com, or you can listen on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. If you are a frequent user of the Epic Games Store playing games like Fork Knife or Rocket Cars with Football, that's Fortnite and Rocket League for normal people, make sure you use the code Kind of Funny on the Epic Store and on in-game purchases, and you will support Kind of Funny just by using that code. Easy clap. No worries. To be part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members are above get to write in, and silver members are above get the show ad-free, along with an exclusive post-show, which you get daily, which is baller. Housekeeping. Yeah. I mean, goddamn, one time let it be a bad game of sweeping. We have another huge day of streaming coming up on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you've been watching Andy play Guardians, you will get to do that again, as we partnered with NVIDIA GeForce to have Andy continue his playthrough of Marvel's Guardian of the Galaxy for the first time. And he's going to be showing off all of that DLSS and ray tracing goodness. Rayman Tracing is back for the stream. And they're going to be giving away some copies of the game right after this show. After that Guardian stream, there's going to be a bonus stream at 2 p.m. PT where Blessing and Barrett are going to be playing Pumpkin Jack New Gen Edition. This is a Halloween-themed PS2-style 3D platformer. It's developed by Thunderful Games. And they're also giving away 60 copies of the game
to people. 60 codes, guys.
60. Whoa, there is insane. A decent chance you get to play this game. Work.
It's a lot.
It does seem like a lot of work, but you know, you've got to reward the Kind of Funny best friends with some good game and love.
Just gotta be in
like
the chat.
A fun game.
That's
you
it.
Just gotta hang out. Games. Just gotta hang out. Easy. Thank you to our Patreon producers, which are Pranksy and Blackjack. And today we're brought to you by DoorDash, DraftKings, Liquid IV. But we'll tell you more about that later. For now, let's get to what is and will forever be the Roper Report. It is time for some gosh dang news. We have four stories today.
Baker's Dozen.
Thank you, Kevin. That was good. I enjoyed that one. That had a little like pent up aggression, which I assume comes from a lot of water vacuuming.
so
Sony,
much.
First story comes by way of Tom Warren at The Verge, and that story is Sony is now using PlayStation PC label for its PC games, which is a massive step forward. And many, many years ago, that would have been unbelievable to us. But Sony's PlayStation games on Steam are now published by PlayStation PC LLC instead of PlayStation Mobile or Mobile or Mobile, depending on where you're from. Forum posters on Reset Era noticed the change yesterday, and it appears that the PlayStation PC company was formed earlier this year. It could mean we'll see Sony use more PlayStation PC branding in the future. Sony has been gradually growing its presence on PC over the past year after Horizon Zero Dawn arrived on Steam in August 2020, followed by hit video game Days Gone in February. Sony is also bringing God of War to PC on January 14th and the remastered Uncharted Legacy of Thieves collection at some point in 2022. Sony's head of PlayStation Studios, Herman Holst, big up Herman, revealed in June that Sony was still early on in its PC plans. He said, "I want to emphasize that PlayStation will remain the best place to play our PlayStation Studios titles at launch." That was in a blog post on the PlayStation blog, obviously. But we do value PC gamers and will continue to look at the right times to launch each game. Sony Interactive Entertainment CEO Jim Ryan has previously described Sony's PC games push as an easy decision for the company. There's an opportunity to expose those great games to a wider audience and recognize the economics of game development, which are not always straightforward, he said in an interview with GQ earlier this year. The cost of making games goes up with each cycle as the caliber of the IP has improved. Also, our ease of making it available to non-console owners has grown, so it's a fairly straightforward decision for us to make. How do you feel about that, Tim? Are you excited about seeing PlayStation games on PC?
Extremely excited. We talked about this a little bit yesterday with the leak of Sackboy Big Adventure potentially coming to PC as well. I think this is a great future that I fully support, and I hope that PlayStation fully supports it, and it looks like they are. Having a PlayStation PC label for all this, it shows that they're taking it a little bit more seriously. PlayStation Mobile, very different thing, and that kind of always would make the PC stuff, if it's under that label, feel a little lesser than feel like a subsidiary kind of just side project that isn't really like a core tenet of what the PlayStation brand is. Whereas with this, like, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be one of their main focuses, but I do think that this at least gives it the chance and potential to have kind of that expectation that if a game's coming to PlayStation, there is a high chance at least that it'll come to PC. What I think is interesting here is the quote of, "I want to emphasize that PlayStation will remain the best place to play our PlayStation Studio titles at launch." That is a very crafted statement to really kind of quell the anger of a lot of fanboys, but also to really still support the console and then to push PS5 and to still, unlike Xbox, not say, "Hey, I don't care if you play on PC or Xbox, just play wherever you want." This is still saying, "We'd prefer you play on PlayStation, but eventually, if you're not going to do that, we'll get you on PC," which isn't necessarily the worst thing. But I do wonder, in 5 years, are we going to be looking back at this quote and are people going to be throwing this quote around of like, "What happened to that?" when games are being announced day and date or released day and date on both PS5 and PC? I don't know. But I wouldn't be surprised if at some point, maybe not during PS5, but PS6, if it is just day and date everywhere.
Yeah, I think like if we do get there, it will be at a time when Sony will go, "Well, look how much money this makes for us." Like there will be no retort from them that isn't like that. When it comes to it, like fanboys, the anger of fanboys of not having something exclusive to them is meaningless. Like, Sony does not care about you as a fanboy being like, "No, this needs to be my thing for this period of time." They don't care. Right now, it makes business sense for them to do it this way. But if it turns out that they put a few experiments out and releasing day and date is incredibly beneficial for them and makes a business sense, your sensitivities around having some sort of exclusivity are going to be meaningless.
Yeah.
Which is the right way to approach it, which I think is incredibly smart and incredibly smart business acumen and savvy. Because although it is a prepared statement from executives, the things that Jim Ryan and Herman Holst are talking about in these statements are very, very true. The realities of making games in the way that Sony does is incredibly expensive. They put out some of the best, most polished games. And to not be able to double dip on those is like is going to be a problem as expectations for their games continue to go up and as they make them more interesting and more like polished experiences. So they got to do this. Kind of Funny Games Daily, obviously a massive show, huge show. Everyone watches it. We know for a fact that multiple senior Sony executives watch it, including Herman Hulst, Shuhei Yoshida. I think Ken Kutaragi has probably got it on in the background in his weird in Katsuya Harada.
He's watching on a PSP.
Yeah, he's watching on a PSP. Jim Ryan. Here's what I'm going to say. Where is Bloodborne on PC? Apologies, I'm invoking a bit of Greg Miller energy here. I haven't had any Busan, but I need it probably. But Uncharted, put it in the bin. God of War, put it in the bin. Days Gone, in the bin. I want Bloodborne on PC. It's been so long. What are you doing? It's such a slam dunk. You know you're doing it. Just tell us you're doing it.
I mean, I wouldn't.
It's driving me mad.
What are your thoughts? Like, what's your reasoning for why not now? Because I kind of think that it makes more sense to lead with these games that they're doing. And like when you see their kind of the cadence and pattern that they've had so far of, okay, Horizon coming out, like that was let's make a big bet on this, right? Death Stranding is a different type of situation just because of the partnerships and how that game was made. But with Horizon, it's like, that's a pure Sony title. And with that, it's like, okay, cool. It's a big one. It sold well. We already know that we're not really going to get more millions sold on this on console. Let's see what happens on PC. That's a success. Days Gone being another example of that kind of tier of new IP. Let's see what happens. But now they're like, all right, let's move into this God of War Uncharted, which is a different league in terms of IP recognition and all that. So Bloodborne, to me, I feel like they might be looking at this of like, let's get this platform going, PlayStation, PC, let's have that mean something and have an understanding for users and then hit them later. Or they're planning a PS5 version and they want to have that come out first before it comes on PC. I don't know. Where's your head at?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, like, fundamentally, I think it's an abject cruelty to the Bloodborne and Souls community that they're not telling us that they're doing it and not giving it to us. So fundamentally, I need to feel attacked to kind of keep this energy going. But from an actual realistic perspective, I think it's a mixture of that game requires perhaps a little more work to get into a place where it can run on PC. I don't think it requires a lot given the amount of stuff that has been done for, like, people are playing that game on PC. People are like tearing it apart on PC. I think what you said about the PS5 version is probably the right line of thinking, where they don't want to just put it out on PC, because if they do, the PlayStation 5 owners are going to be like, what the dealio? You put out a better version for PC, but where's our version? So I think that what they're probably doing is creating an optimized version of the PS4 version for PS5. And then alongside that, we'll have the PC version. I mean, that is us saying that's what we think they're doing. There's been discussions and whispers about it happening. It makes too much sense to not do it, considering how popular that game is and how many people have asked specifically for a PC version. And also, it's weird. It's such an old game, but it feels like a major, it feels like a jewel in their crown that they've got just waiting, which is wild to think about for a game like Bloodborne, which is incredibly old, but like a PC version of this old game being a massive, like, megaton moment is kind of interesting. So I think they're waiting for their right moment as well. Maybe it could be soon. Maybe it could be like Game Awards. Here it is. We've got it. But I don't know. I think it will show up eventually, but I wish it would be sooner rather than later, just because even if they're like, yes, we're working on it, chill. And then moved on. I think that would go a long way.
Well, I mean, it's kind of interesting with what you just said there about, like, yeah, we're working on it, just wait. It's like, I think it's interesting to look at the recent months' announcements in terms of Sony games on PC, where we get Uncharted Legacy of Thieves announcement with a 2022 date. I think they even said early 2022, if I remember correctly. And then we get God of War with a January actual date after that. You know, it just kind of seems a little bit weird. And like, maybe it's because what teams are working on what. I kind of forget this. I remember last week we were talking about PlayStation acquired Nixon, I think it was called, to work on these PlayStation ports, and that those teams aren't the ones that are specifically working on some of the titles we just talked about. So maybe that has something to do with it. I got a question for you though, Tam.
Yes.
Thinking strategically about this whole thing, we know that these Sony titles, do extremely well on PlayStation consoles, right? Like, let's just look at Horizon. Major success, new IP that sold gangbusters and sold millions and millions and millions of copies. Any way you look at it, that game was a major success. Years later, they put it on PC, and it's the top of the Steam charts, selling gangbusters on Steam and outpacing so many of the other titles on Steam. We've now seen that many, many times, whether it's a big PlayStation title or what was traditionally a core Xbox title, things like Forza or whatever it was, yeah. Right? The Steam charts are just stacked with these console games that are now on PC. What do you think would happen sales-wise if Horizon 2 was just day and date on PC and PlayStation 5? Like, do you think that that would actually result in more sales overall and more conversation overall? How many, like, percentage-wise, do you think that a chunk of PS5 users would buy it on PC instead to a demonstrable degree that that would matter at all?
I think it would sell more, obviously. Like, it makes perfect sense. You open up the game to a bigger audience, right? Like, you're not just PS5, you're now PC as well. And I think if they did that, I think it would be incredibly smart. I think I would encourage it. I have no preciousness over where I play games, and I realize that I'm in a privileged position where I can say that because I own these platforms. But I feel like if you're a PlayStation 5 owner and you see that a game is coming to another platform and that upsets you, get a grip and grow up. I think I don't think it will hurt the PlayStation 5 sales in a meaningful way for me. I think the only thing that Sony stands to gain from it is a beneficial expansion of the amount of people that are now aware of their game and playing that game. And I think it actually would encourage people to really think about the PlayStation ecosystem a bit more. Like, if they suddenly, a bunch of PC gamers open up Steam and they see Horizon 2 is there, and they're like, oh shit, that's the PlayStation game, I didn't realize it was on PC. I think a fair few of them will be like, I'm gonna check that out. That is the hot game of the moment. And they'll jump on board. And from then, that's Sony winning. They're in the PlayStation ecosystem. Like, they're thinking about other games that they can potentially go on to. You buy a Horizon 2 day and date, you play it, you're now in the ecosystem. Now you're thinking, what else do they have? And the first thing you see is probably God of War. And you're like, I've heard nothing but great things about this game. I'm going to check it out. And then that also feeds into, like, really interestingly, into the streaming ecosystem, right? Like, you can stream PlayStation 5 games, you can stream on the PlayStation 5 if you want. But obviously there's a massive contingent of PC-focused streamers that play PC games. And if you enable them to then play PlayStation games on their PC and stream them out as well, you're basically like supercharging that ecosystem by exposing a Twitch audience, a Facebook gaming audience, a YouTube gaming audience to a new kind of corner of gaming that perhaps they wouldn't have looked at before because they exclusively play PC games. Yeah. I think there's a huge, huge benefit to them. I don't think it will. The only thing that they potentially risk happening is a meaningless online backlash, which I don't think Sony cares one bit about, because anyone who complains is like, I'm not buying it on PlayStation 5 because you've put it out on PC. Good luck to you. That means you're just not playing a game that everyone is playing, and you know deep down that you're not going to do that. If you truly care, you're buying this game. It's available to you. Yeah. And I don't think Sony loses any money from the grandstanding from fanboys at all, because fanboys often are all talk and no action. Totally. So I would love it to see it.
Me too. And I'm honestly kind of struggling to see any downside. Like, I'm sure that there's a lot of just licensing issues, legal issues, workflow issues, so many issues at play and reasoning for why it's not happening right now. Because the only thing I can think about is them being concerned about losing out on PlayStation 5 console sales. And I just simply think that they are different enough audiences that that is not the case. And I think that at the end of the day, they know that any console sale they'd lose from somebody that is going to switch exclusively to PC to play PlayStation games is still that's a win for them, because they got the PlayStation gamer there. And I think even more people will be convinced to buy a PS5 that enjoyed a game on PC for that different type of experience, just having it, the simplicity of the living room and all of that stuff. Like, it's interesting to me, because going back to my question about, like, what do you think about the, like, how well would it sell? Question two to that: what do you think would actually end up selling more copies? day and date on both, or the double dipping strategy they're kind of employing right now of here the game's coming out on PlayStation 5 and then a year or two later it's coming out on PC. Because I think that it is like day and date would get them millions more copies sold overall.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, day and date is, for me, the least risky approach to it, because I don't know, let's take a look at a game like Days Gone, for example. If that had launched day and date with its PlayStation 5 release, you would have had people taking kind of a leap of faith or even just a risk on buying that game and playing it. And the problem you have now is, like, years later or all that time later, they have the context for what that game is, was, and the discussion around it and the marketing around it, if you get what I mean. So by launching it later, you kind of have that, you don't get the full force of your marketing hitting at the same time because everything points to one release date. And then, you know, that's when the highest awareness of it is. Like, honestly, I think that later on down the line, you know, when you're remarketing a game, there's less attention being paid to it. But I think day and date is what do you call it, going to be the best way to approach it, because for a game like Days Gone, later on, you know, you now can read the reviews and be like, huh, this game isn't hitting as hard as I thought, so maybe I'll just skip it entirely. Tim, I'm going to quickly pivot, because if you're about to talk about the breaking news, is that right?
No, I'm not. Just, I want to say two things real quick that I saw in chat that I think are really interesting, really good points. Ricky Rich says, double dipping would get them more sales for sure because I would pay twice. That is an interesting thing to think about, of people that bought it on PlayStation and then 2 years later are like, you know what? It's been long enough. I'm going to buy the game again for this new PC experience. I do think that that is going to be a sizable number. I'm still not convinced that that number still won't exist if it was day and date of people just buying two copies because they want different experiences. That'll be lesser for sure. But I think that, like, if you're going through one of those arguments, I think that those same people are still the type of people that, like, care about that stuff. But Jeff Grubb brings up something that is extremely, extremely interesting. He says, it loses the loss leader value. They make a lot of money from having people buy their microtransactions on PSN. But in general, I agree with you both. That is a really good point of owning the ecosystem and the console and everything. Like, they are making the most money for less work even. So it's like that really does make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think we're at a place where PlayStation, people who own PlayStations and care about PlayStations generally are like, I don't care if this game exists somewhere else. I'm a PlayStation person. I'm going to play it on PlayStation. Like, even me who has a gaming PC, If you know, a new Horizon's coming out and I know that I could buy it anywhere, I'm going to pick the PlayStation because that's the kind of experience that is to me. And that's what I want out of it. And if I'm buying DLC, I'm probably buying it on PlayStation as well. Like, if there's very, until Sony's like, this is optimized and we've built it for PC and it's going to be a more interesting experience on PC, I'm not going to be doing that, but they're not going to do that. So I think that launching it day and date would probably still be, for me personally, I think the one that really works for them, but I think it'll be some time before we get there. Final thing on that is, like, now the only kind of like outlier we have is Nintendo, which I'm interested to see how their future lays out. I think they'll stick to their guns, which I 100% encourage, like, fair play to them, but we'll see how that goes. I wanted to pivot real quick because we had some breaking news come in. That Jeff Keighley tweeted this, but Mark Zuckerberg has announced that GTA San Andreas is coming to Oculus Quest and VR. That is a massive, massive deal because it's GTA San Andreas in a virtual reality device. Tim, are you interested in playing GTA San Andreas in VR?
I am not, but Tam, I wish that me and you owned Grand Theft Auto. Can you imagine? Like, we know how much money they're making, but right now they're like having this moment. They're like, but we can make more. Let's just go back and, like, let's get these things out there. Fucking hell yeah. Why not, man? I love that here we are years into gaming VR being a thing where there are now kind of these platforms that people understand. Like, we've had the shakeout where in the early days there was like 15 different things. Now it's like, okay, cool. There's Oculus, there's PlayStation VR, there's Vive, right? Like, that's it. And I love that, like, with these, they're like, okay, we've done Skyrim. a bazillion times. Mm-hmm. What else can we go back to? Let's do Resident Evil 4 again. That makes sense. What's next? GTA San Andreas. Why not? And like, hey, people seem to be really liking it. I've been seeing the reviews for RE4 are like really killer, like 9 out of 10. So it's like, it can work. I think that it's I am shocked that taking old games and putting them into VR, like old traditional console games, and putting them into VR seems to be working for people. But hell yeah.
Yeah, Resi 4 VR is like, they clearly, like, our review was very positive about it, and I put our biggest Resident Evil 4 fan on it, so I knew that he was going to be scrutinized very, very, like, in-depth and aggressively. And he came out and he was like, this is great, man. Like, it's really, really good. And that is surprising because it seems like Facebook, Oculus, whoever it is, the team are trying to pay a little more attention and give a little love to these games, which is a kind of interesting thing because you know, you have the these games that they're not as technologically or like in terms of hardware demanding. They're quite old now, and so because of that, you can go in there and make them work a bit better within VR, which, you know, modern VR devices aren't super, super powerful. You couldn't take a God of War and make it look exactly the same and make it run on a VR device. But you can take a God of War 1 or 2 and do something with that and work within those constraints to make a really compelling VR experience. And that's what they did with Resident Evil. And that's what I hope they do with San Andreas. Especially if they can hook in some of the... Because GTA San Andreas was one of those games that was like early in the RP kind of trend. Like, people were playing role-playing servers for GTA San Andreas and I think Vice City as well. And I would love to see them introduce that element to the Oculus version. Who knows if they will? But that would be pretty, pretty amazing. I hope that they give it their due diligence to make it as good as something like a Resident Evil. We've got another tweet. Shout out to Barrett, who's just feeding me these updates on Slack. Thank you, Barrett. Stephen Totillo tweeted, Mark Zuckerberg at Facebook Connect says the company will begin reducing the requirement to log into Oculus with a Facebook account, and says the other logins will be supported over the years, which is good news to some people, mainly because Facebook obviously overreaching with its data, and Facebook obviously currently in a lot of shit. So this is clearly a kind of like PR move that they're doing. Especially as they move into the metaverse, which is their new thing that they're moving towards. But the end result is hopefully means that, you know, we have more availability and less bullshit information gathering happening. But yeah, exciting times for GTA fans. I have a Quest sure. 2, and I bought a Quest 2, and I was like, I'm going to buy this, and then I had to go back to the UK. I took it with me, and I used it 0 times, and I have bought it back. I've done one thing on my Quest 2, and it's attend a virtual Kendrick Lamar concert on YouTube, and it was really weird. I was like, what's going on? But I was standing, like, right in front of Kendrick Lamar, like a weirdly proportioned Kendrick Lamar, and I was like, I don't know how I feel about this. I turned around and, like, weird. It looked like a sports game crowd from 10 years ago, like, waving, like, signs up and down. And I was like, get me out of here.
I love that so much.
Yeah, it's fun. But I'm excited to use that a bit more.
Yeah, we're, like, weeks away from the definitive trilogy. That is so exciting. Yes. What a fun moment.
I am so excited about it. Weirdly, I'm the most excited about playing Vice City again.
I'm most excited about 3. I just, like, I want to, just because it's like, I want to start where it all began. Like, no, you know, no. Vice City is easily the one I played the most. Easily. Like, I love Vice City. But, like, I just have such fond memories of just fucking around in 3 and the opening scenes of 3 and the opera music and all that stuff. Like, I just can't wait to see it again.
Yeah. I think my, like, aesthetically, vibe, tone, like, writing, like, San Andreas hits for me the most. Obviously, because I'm, like, a West Coast hip-hop kid, like...
Exactly. West Coast 90s. It's like, come on.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, for some reason, Vice City is the one that I'm most engaged with character and moments-wise. I think it was the funniest of the bunch, so I'm just so excited to jump back in there and be, like, with Tommy and all those lads again. Lance. But, yeah. Yes, Lance in there. Next story. This is a big one and also quite a pivot in terms of tone, but let's do it anyway. Activision Blizzard CEO Bobby Kotick asked board to reduce his salary and cut bonuses amid lawsuit. This was written by Eddie McCoot at the world's best video game website, GameSpot.com. Check it out now. Just days after a judge rejected Activision Blizzard's petition to pause California's lawsuit, the video game company has announced a series of changes it's making to help improve its corporate culture amid ongoing lawsuits related to sexual harassment and discrimination. Additionally, CEO Bobby Kotick has said he's asking the board to cut his salary to the lowest level possible for someone in California and to remove all of his bonuses. On top of that, Activision Blizzard is waiving mandatory arbitration, which is something the workers' advocacy group had been asking for. In a news release, Kotick acknowledged Activision Blizzard's shortcomings, saying the guardrails weren't in place everywhere to ensure that our values were being upheld. In some cases, people didn't consistently feel comfortable reporting concerns, or their concerns weren't always addressed promptly or properly. People were deeply let down, and for that, I'm truly sorry, he said. Being welcoming and inclusive in the context of our workplace is crystal clear. We will passionately debate ideas, employ healthy skepticism when appropriate, and demand excellence and rigor in all of our pursuits. But we will always treat each other with dignity and respect. And regardless of the differences, voices will be heard, perspectives welcomed, and contributions valued. Kotick said that Activision Blizzard has tripled its investment in anti-harassment and anti-discrimination training, and it's made meaningful organizational changes. Kotick also said the company has substantially increased resources for reporting and carefully investigating improper behavior. So I'm going to quickly run over some of the changes that are being implemented. You can actually go to the investor website, Activision. It's investor.activision.com, and you'll find a news release for it there. And all of these points that I'm about to mention are broken down in more depth. But because of how long they are, I thought I'd just highlight the kind of top level changes. And those changes are, they are launching a new zero tolerance harassment policy company-wide. They will increase the percentage of women and non-binary people in the workforce by 50% and invest $250 million to accelerate opportunities for diverse talent, $250 million over the next 10 years in initiatives that foster expanded opportunities in gaming and technology for underrepresented communities. Based on the feedback from employees, they are waiving the arbitration of sexual harassment and discrimination claims. It will continue to increase visibility on pay equity and will provide regular progress updates on this all. Regarding Kotick's pay, he said he asked the board of directors to cut his pay to $62,500. This is his bonus pay, not his base pay, by the way, which is the lowest amount allowed by California law for people earning a salary. Kotick's bonuses are being cut too. To be clear, this is a reduction of my overall compensation, not just my salary. So it's both, my mistake. I am asking not to receive any bonuses or be granted equity during this time. For comparison, Kotick made $150 million in total compensation in 2020. Okay, so there's a lot in here, and I think the important thing that we need to do is kind of unpack it. The story that everyone is reporting is Bobby Kotick is taking a pay cut. And obviously, that's a huge deal, but that is what a lot of media, including us at GameSpot, are putting forward as the big thing, because it's what everyone will most readily latch onto. Most people know that Bobby Kotick is... he's getting a lot of money and the place is in a bit of a mess. So that is what people gravitate towards. And through that, we'll learn about everything else. The more important aspect of this story is there are changes being made at Activision Blizzard.
Absolutely, Tim.
And the important thing to recognize is the part where Bobby Kotick says, I'm taking a pay cut, is a PR move for himself. Like, it's a distraction. Everyone will talk about the fact that he is doing a good thing by taking a pay cut. What you should actually focus on is the people who spoke out about this sexual harassment and all the harassment and the kind of bullying and the toxic work environment. They got shit done. Those are the important people in the story. And there was a lot of pushback to them. The company itself tried to silence them, and they managed to get these points through. They managed to affect real change, and they did that because everyone in the industry spoke up, supported them as much as possible. And those people took a lot of shit while doing that. They were beaten and battered in the public arena of discourse, and they stuck to their guns, and this is what they achieved. In fingers crossed, what they achieved was a better Activision Blizzard for themselves and for the people coming in the future. The Bobby Kotick part of it is a small, small thing that is good. This man shouldn't be earning that much money while the people below him are suffering daily and are the means of production and have to go through it under that under those conditions. It's a decent thing, a good thing. But the important thing is these actions or these changes were enacted by people who fought hard, and hopefully that will inspire others to take control of their own fates to a degree as much as they can and speak up and try and enact these similar changes across the industry.
100%, Tam. I am so happy that I have you here for this show, and you absolutely nailed it. I'm happy you're taking the perspective of talking about these changes, because I'm looking at this, talking about increasing the percentage. Like, these aren't just like, oh, we're tripling it and it's from nothing to a little less than nothing. This is substantial. $250 million to accelerate these opportunities. The increase the percentage of women and non-binary people in our workforce by 50%. Like, there's numbers. There's the things that will be looked at to make sure that they're hitting that. And like, that is good. We'll continue to increase visibility on pay equity. We'll provide regular progress updates. Like, they are trying their best. And now here's the thing. Is this the win? No, but the right team has the ball right now, and they are kicking it down the field. And it's like, I think that we just need to keep supporting that. And every single goal helps to achieve getting towards that win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And this is not the end of it. This is something that we are excited about, but we should actually also, not to be like, a downer on the whole situation, but like, this is the bare minimum that it should be for everyone always. This shouldn't be something that we now, many, many, many years into this, you know, game development, this company are now getting for these people. This should be the baseline, like, a thing that they should get. And from here, like, we should support them in going forward. There are unionization efforts happening, and that should be something that people should support, because it helps protect the people that are making your games. If you're a gamer out there wondering what you should do, you should support these developers who are trying to unionize, because these developers are the people making the games that you want to play. The executives higher up that are trying to stop that from happening, they're not making your games. They're not putting creative ideas into your games. They're not coding anything. They're not coming up with the art, the music, any of that. Those are the people who are sitting back and earning money off the hard work of the people who need to be in better working conditions. And the way they guarantee that with those working conditions is by unionizing and by finding like-minded people who can protect themselves and give themselves bargaining power. And bargaining power is the important thing here, because Lord knows senior executives at corporations don't always have the best interests of their workers at hand. But if you're homie that you day to day are in the pit with, you know, making the games, and you and a few others can come together and be like, look, either you give us this basic thing that we're asking for, or you don't get your game. That's incredibly powerful. That is incredibly powerful. And that is what makes executives rethink how they treat their workers. So this isn't a victory won. This is a good step in the right direction. Keep supporting those people. Keep showing them that you care about their working conditions. And hopefully we can. This is a big company. And if others, smaller companies or equal size companies, see it happening at a place like Activision, they will be empowered to try to enact it where they work. And over time, fingers crossed, this industry that we love and gives us jobs and joy and so much will become a better place and invite more talent into it. I want to hit on a quick question that came in from Nanobiologist. We actually answered a bit of the question, but I want to go into the second part. And that is like, Bobby needed to hide behind something admirable, which is kind of similar to what we were saying. What is he trying to prepare for? The earnings call is next week. Is the quarter's performance not nearly as good in light of the lawsuits, walkouts, consumer responses to their products and sales? While it's easier, should we be okay with Bobby's tactic while he prepares for a blow to his CEO-ship? It's hard to speculate on why he's doing this, but I think fundamentally it's being backed up against the wall in a lot of ways. Between the lawsuits, between the actual action being taken by developers working and others working at the company, and there may be some element of things not being as rosy in the earnings. It's a mess in so many situations that I don't think they had a choice. I don't think he had a choice. And this is like the move that they made to make Bobby Kotick look good. But like we said earlier, that's not the important part. The thing that you need to focus on is the efforts of the workers. All right, so that was a big story. I will encourage you to go to, again, to the Activision webpage, the investor site, where all this is laid out, or you can go to the world's best video game website, GameSpot.com, which has a detailed breakdown on it and also links out to it. So make sure you do that, because the world's best video game website, GameSpot.com, could do with your support always. Yep. Next story comes
Before you get to the next story, though. I say we take a word from our sponsors.
It's time for we went a little long, so yeah, let's do a word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Liquid IV. Flu season is in full swing, and let me tell you, being properly hydrated makes a huge difference. That's why I use Liquid IV to stay hydrated and support a strong immune system with delicious flavors like watermelon, strawberry, and lemon lime. I've been using Liquid IV for years. I absolutely love it. It helps me stay hydrated when you're feeling a little hungover, or even if you're just kind of feeling a little groggy. This is the best way to get hydrated fast. Liquid IV uses cellular transport technology, which is a very fancy way of saying it contains the perfect balance of vitamins to help you hydrate quicker. Grab your favorite Liquid IV flavors nationwide at Walmart, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code KFGD at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you get better hydration today using the promo code KFGD at liquidiv.com. That's liquidiv.com with the promo code KFGD. Next up, shout out to DoorDash. We're getting close to the holiday season and things are bound to get a little hectic soon. Why not give yourself one less thing to worry about? Get dinner covered with DoorDash. Along with the restaurants you love, you can now get groceries and other essentials delivered with DoorDash. You can get drinks, snacks, and other household items in under an hour. I love DoorDash. I've been using it for so long, and it's just great to not have to worry about stuff, be able to order food and have it delivered just straight to me. A fun fact, one of my best friends just had his baby shower last week, and I decided a great gift would be get him a DoorDash gift card. For a limited time, you guys can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code GAMES2021. That's 25% off up to $10 value and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code GAMES2021. Don't forget, that's code GAMES2021, GAMES 2021 for 25% off your first order with DoorDash. Subject to change, terms apply. And finally, shout out to DraftKings. The killer crossovers, the nothing but net jumpers, the tenacious throwdowns. Ladies and gentlemen, basketball is back. DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, is celebrating the return to the hardwood by giving new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. That's really exciting. Score big and you can score big cash. And with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes, it's the perfect time to show off your basketball IQ. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code KFGD. This week, new customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. All you got to do is enter promo code KFGD to get a free shot at millions in total prizes with your first deposit. That's code KFGD only at DraftKings. There's a minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Remember, promo code KFGD.
And we've already talked about Grand Theft Auto.
Mm-hmm.
We've already talked about how we're hip-hop kids, specifically West Coast hip-hop kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're overall hip-hop kids. Now we're going to combine that into a juicy news story, which comes via the second best video game website on the internet, GameSpot.com. That's right. We are both the first and second best video game website. You love to see it. Written by Hayley Williams.
That was great.
Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg are working on new music for Grand Theft Auto. What is this all about? Snoop Dogg has said that Dr. Dre is working on new music for the Grand Theft Auto series, Rolling Stone reports, as well as adding that he's on board as a collaborator on some of the tracks. While Snoop has said that the new music is connected to the GTA game that's coming out, it's unclear whether the rapper is referring to a new entry in the Grand Theft Auto series or simply new music being added to GTA 5. I do know he's in the studio, Snoop Dogg said in an interview with Rolling Stone's Music Now podcast. I do know he's making great effing music, and some of his music is connected to the GTA game that's coming out. So I think that will be the way that his music will be released through the GTA game. When reached by a Rolling Stone, Rockstar Games declined to comment on the remarks made by Snoop Dogg. While fans of the Grand Theft Auto series expect a sixth game will be released at some point, nothing has been officially announced by Rockstar at this stage. It's possible that the new music by Dr. Dre, who hasn't released anything solo since Compton in 2015, will make an appearance in the upcoming Grand Theft Auto The Trilogy Definitive Edition, which is due for release on November 11th for PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, S, Nintendo Switch, and PC. It's also a possibility that the music is destined for GTA 5, or GTA Online, which continues to expand its ambitions for musical content in the last year. It's also possible, I'm positing here, Tim, listen to me.
Combine it.
We had, this is going to be, it could be all of them, but let's try this weird scenario. We had the Wu-Tang Clan release an album exclusively to one person, right? Unfortunately, that one person turned out to be a top 10 D-bag, and like we have not publicly heard that album. And we also now live in an age where not only is music released digitally as a priority, but also debuted within virtual worlds like Fortnite. What if Grand Theft Auto is the venue for the release of Detox?
Holy fuck. I don't know how I didn't see that coming. Damn.
What if?
Damn, dude.
Imagine
I thought you were just going to be like, Dan debuts his new song or even a new album. No. Oh my God. That would be insane. That would be fucking insane.
Grand Theft Auto is the biggest and one of the biggest entertainment franchises. How is it any different from Jay-Z releasing Magna Carta Holy Grail on a Samsung phone and guaranteeing a certain amount of copies sold and money and going platinum within seconds? Imagine if Rockstar went to Dre and were like, you've got Detox, we've got GTA, we will pay you up front for the release of Detox. We will debut it in Grand Theft Auto. How you feel? And Dr. Dre is already like drunk dialing everyone again, like he did when he became Apple executive.
Yo, that would be crazy. Honestly, that's too much. But, oh, Tim, I love the way you're thinking there. That is incredible. I think that this is more likely to be, honestly, I think there's equal chance it could be multiple things. One of them is Snoop Dogg doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. this whole thing could go out the window because Snoop Dogg's just saying things. Yeah.
Let's not forget, this is a man that left his streaming camera on for multiple days and like he left the studio all night with a stream going, came back the next day and he was still streaming. I was like, what the hell's going on?
So Snoop Dogg, who knows? You gotta love them. The other chances are, I mean, look, there. Even today, we're talking about a San Andreas, a new version, the VR version. We have the definitive trilogy. I'm not expecting new music to be added to either of those projects, especially because they haven't said that. I feel like they would have, but they did say they're taking away some songs. So if you're taking away some songs, maybe they are going to add some new ones to kind of like add to it. I don't know what that could be, even if it was like more of a celebratory type thing. I don't really know. I don't expect that to be the case. I think that what's most likely, and Blessing was saying this in Slack, that it's probably just new songs in GTA Online because they do that. And that would make sense. That would make the most sense for a new Dre song to fit in. Unrelated to this specifically, but going back to the old GTA story we were talking about, I saw this in the chat and I copied it because it hurts my soul, Tam. Hurts me very, very much. PD Popoff says, it's weird now that GTA 3 is a retro style game like Vice City and San Andreas. It's just a throwback to the early 2000s.
Yeah, that's wild.
Holy shit.
That is kind of wild, yeah. I mean, I guess that's why they're putting out this kind of like update, right? They don't want it to look that way anymore. So like, or they at least want it to feel current to a degree. I think this is like the fact that GTAs are being re-released in this way is like one of the smartest things Rockstar's done in a really long time. Like, in the absence, especially because now it also buys them a little bit of extra time for GTA 6, which is inevitable. But like, three new GTA games coming out? Sweet. Let's do it. I hope they do the same for like Chinatown Wars. I hope they do the same for like those kind of Liberty City stories. Like, they've now opened the door to bring back all
trilogy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Like, put that stuff out. I'd love to see it. But yeah, the fact that GTA 3, Vice City, and San Andreas are basically retro games at this point is deeply upsetting to me.
I think you might be missing the point of even what Petey's saying here. Vice City was the 80s. San Andreas is the 90s. GTA 3 is the 2000s.
Oh my God. Yeah, I see what you're saying now. Yeah. I'm upset that I now understand that.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah. Oh, what a show this has been.
Oh God. The soaring highs and crushing lows of Kind of Funny Games Daily continue with an update from the Prince of Persia team. To be clear, this is both a soaring high and a crushing low in certain ways. Mm. And this is an update from the Sands of Time remake development team. And this is written very quickly by me into this document. So this is credited to Kind of Funny Games Daily. Ahead of Ubisoft's latest financial call, the official Prince of Persia Twitter account posted a short message updating followers on the status of the project. Hello, Prince of Persia fans. We want to take a moment to reassure you that development of Prince of Persia, the Sands of Time remake, is still underway, motivated and inspired by your feedback. We will update you on our progress in the future and want to thank you all for your unwavering support and patience. So the reason why this is kind of an interesting story is because it's kind of a proof of life. It's not a major update because we know that it was delayed, but it's like they went dark. And this was in response to quite significant backlash, not backlash, but like feedback from fans being like, oh, this looks bad. What's going on here? So they kind of went away and like on February 5th, 2021 this year, Ubisoft's Prince of Persia Sands of Time remake was delayed, and it was delayed to an unspecified date in the future. So indefinitely delayed. It was slated to launch in March. And that was the game's second public delay, as it was originally supposed to be out in January. So reason this is a big deal is because, yes, they're still working on it, but also, like, Sands of Time is one of the most beloved games of that era, and it is, like, mechanically one of the most interesting games and, like, very much paved the way for future iterations on that franchise and future iterations on new franchises.
Oh, and Assassin's Creed, yeah.
Yeah, would not exist without that game to a big, big, big degree. And obviously bringing it back is a huge, huge thing. And I don't think Ubisoft was ready for the response to it. I don't think Ubisoft even realized how beloved it was until they put that trailer out and were like, hey, we're making it. And everyone went, what? No, this is not how you should be doing this. This is messed up. So I'm glad they are taking the time, and I'm glad that this kind of statement came out, because it just, like, for a little while I was like, what if they just can it? And they're like, we're done. We're not doing this.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a good point. I'm happy. I didn't see this update. I'm happy it's here, and I'm happy that the game still exists, because this is one of those things that at any moment could be like, hey, you know what? It's just not working, so we're done. I love this game. It is one of my favorite games of all time. Literally, that painting right there is Sands of Time, and I fucking love it, and I've had such a lucky streak in video games where so many of my favorite games have been remade recently and in so many ways made even better or different. Final Fantasy VII Remake, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, the Crash Bandicoot games, CTR, so many things have just been like boom, 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 these incredible, Resident Evil 2, incredible remakes of games that I loved, and seeing this was like, oh no. So I'm happy they're taking their time. Take as much time as you need. I have the original. I can always go back and play that. There's no rush. Get this right. And I'm very happy that they are taking the time. And even if it's going to take another 2 years, I just hope it ends great. I remember watching after they first announced it, there was like one like dev profile thing they put out. And it seems like this is that team's first real game that they're working on. There's a lot of really like questionable things going on there, but at the same time I want to support them. They do care, and I think that like hearing the feedback and trying to do all this stuff, it's like, you know what, I fully support it.
I believe it's a new Ubisoft team in India with support from another Ubisoft team, so I think this is also a case of that team kind of figuring out how to make this game and kind of cutting their teeth and getting trained up. So I'm excited that they're going to be able to do this, and I hope that it means that if they do it right and they get to the place they need to be in terms of technical expertise and development and that kind of stuff ability, that they even get a shot at more Prince of Persia stuff, because I would love to see that franchise come back. Mm-hmm. But the Prince of Persia Sands of Time remake is likely very, very far away, Tim. Yes. If I wanted to know what's coming today to Mom and Grop Shops, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Jingle. Out today, we have, let's do this, buckle up, because it's a big list. We have Super Robot Wars 30 for PC. 30! There's been 29 of these bad boys, and I do not know what is going on. Fatal Frame Maiden of Blackwater is out for PS5, PS4, Xbox Series XS, Xbox One, and Switch. NASCAR 21 Ignition. NASCAR. That's the one where they just keep going around in circles, right?
Uh-huh.
Until someone dies. All right,
cool. Until someone dies, yes.
PS4, Xbox One, PC. If you are racing in NASCAR, you are luckily also going to be interested in this next game. Gas Guzzlers Extreme for Switch. Virtuaverse for PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Voice of Cards, The Isle of Dragon Roars. PS4, Switch, PC. Now, that sounds like the most generic name you have ever heard. It is, in fact, the new game from Yoko Taro, creator of Nier. So, attention to that one. Undernauts, Labyrinth of Yomi, coming to PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Black Widow, good film, underrated, not related to that. Black Widow Recharged, PS5, PS4, Xbox Series XS, Xbox One, Switch, PC. I watched Black Widow on the plane back to the US, and I thought Florence Pugh was amazing. Bassmaster Fishing 2022 sounds very American. PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, PC. Roki, PS5, Xbox Series S and X. Happy Game, Switch, PC, and Mac.
Why not?
Riders Republic, PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X, S, Xbox One, PC. Finally, Blessing can keep quiet about this goddamn game. Age of Empires 6? 4?
4.
Four. I'm so four. Bad with four, IV. Four. Yes. Four. Yeah, four. Yeah, I just had a flash.
Final Fantasy taught me, baby.
Yeah. I just had a flashback to working in retail and someone coming in and asking for GTA IV around the time GTA 4 was out. So that's how I remember.
Did school teach you Roman numerals?
Yeah.
No. I'm with Tim. All of the Roman numerals I know are from Final Fantasy.
I think it's 100%. Fifth grade.
I don't know. Damn. Maybe they mentioned it in one class. I'm like, yeah, this is a thing that happened. But like, yeah.
Dusk coming to Switch. What is this? Abarembo, Tengu, and Zombie Nation Switch. Dragon Hill Switch. Distraint Collections Switch. Cape's Escape Game Fourth Room Switch. King Leo Switch. Jigsaw Finale Switch. Brain Meltdown Into Despair Switch. Sedomairi Switch. Okinawa Rush Switch. Zumba Aqua Switch. Jigsaw Fun. Amazing Animals Switch, the Sokoban Switch.
I don't like Jigsaw and Animals being put together, but
yeah, it's not a good idea. And then Subway Midnight for PC. New dates, Digimon Survive has moved to 2022.
Is this game ever going to fucking happen?
Apologies.
Dude, they announced this so long ago. It looks dope as fuck. It's a strategy game, and like the art style looks fucking awesome, and it looks dark and apocalyptic, and it's like, oh, this looks like some cool Digimon shit, but yeah, we're never gonna play it.
Yeah, now it's time for the Nvidia GeForce update. We have partnered with Nvidia.
There's none today
updated. Oh yeah, there is none today. I already talked to you about this and then I did it.
It's all good. Damn. we're having fun here.
I'm on autopilot here. You know what? Just look at some Nvidia stuff. Just click some Nvidia links.
Go trace some rays, kids.
Raise some Rayman tracing. Fire up DLSS. Be like, yep, Nvidia works. And then come back to it.
Mm-hmm.
Deals of the day. Quick one. Metroid Dread, out of nowhere, has a demo on eShop. Just Nintendo dropping a demo, unprompted. Metroid Dread is a good game. And if you wanted to get a sample of it before you spend those Nintendo bucks, those full prices, you can do it. There are six Sonic Games DLC for $1 on the Humble Sonic bundle. That includes Sonic Team Racing, Sonic Mania, Sonic Forces, Sonic and All-Star Racing Transform Collection, Sonic Generations Collection, Sonic Lost World, Sonic Adventure 2, Battle Mode DLC, Adventure DX, and a bunch more.
For $1.
For $1. Wow. It's wild. And then Dark Complete Edition is free on the Epic Games Store. Seems like a good game. We did read a mail already, so we're going to go to You're Wrong. I'm opening the document now. We're going to see. Oh, there's a few in here. Nano Uncharted Legacy of Thieves has an early 22 release date. 2022. Apologies. PlayStation acquired Nixis, not Nixon. Okay, cool. For PC ports. We've got the breaking news. That was also from Nano. And then Hard Flind, top 10
hard
debug.
Hard to find. Those are also Roman numerals.
Hard to find. Okay, I can't read. Top 10 debug was a little modest, Tam. Oh, he's top 10 of 3. So, okay, cool. I agree with that. Nano says Ubisoft Mumbai and Ubisoft Pune, both India studios, are working on Prince of Persia. Pune was acquired in 2008 and made several Just Dance games and provided QA assistance. Mumbai was founded in 2018 and was to assist with collaborating on local universities in India. Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, tomorrow's hosts for Kind of Funny Games Daily are Blessing and Janet. If you are watching live after this, stay tuned for Andy's return to Guardians of the Galaxy. And then after that, we're going to have Blessing playing the pumpkin game, which I've forgotten
pumpkin,
the name of it.
Pumpkin Jack.
Pumpkin Jack.
It'll be a long stream day. So just to be clear, we're doing like the Guardians all the way, and then Pumpkin Jack's at 2 p.m. So it's going to be like we're streaming forever.
Big day. You should watch that live because that is the best way to watch live content, I've been told. But if you're not able to watch that live, you can catch it later by subscribing to youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. I am frequently hanging out on that YouTube channel because I love watching the streams back. If I can't watch it live. But I have been told, I have it under good authority, that watching live content live is the best way to watch it.
It's the only way to win the giveaway codes. Giveaway codes for Guardians and for Pumpkin Jack. So hang out. I see you, Crown Prince, and Nanobiologist, Not the Lysander, Owen Jesus, all y'all. Hang out.
Yeah.
Win some codes.
Stick around. Get some codes. This has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, where each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames we run you through the nerdy news that you need to know about so then you can convince your parents that you're actually paying attention to what's going on in the world around you, just specifically through the lens of video games. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed on the silver level on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, so please do stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, laugh and grow fat.